Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah!
Good evening. I hope everyone enjoyed that tune. I cried my last tear yesterday. This is Miss Sugar on Faith-Based Purpose. And I am glad to be here this afternoon. And before we bring the show host on, we want to, first of all, welcome our special guest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're absolutely glad you're here. And we're going to bring on Evangelist Williams and Reverend Williams. And welcome both of you also. So how's everybody today?
All right. Good. Doing just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, we know today, here's what happened. We changed from discussing a topic to discussing scripture. We're going to discuss that topic at a later date. So everyone, just hold on to that. Don't get rid of it. We are going to discuss it. Now, I was looking at the scriptures, and I don't know why. When I decided to give those scriptures, they came to me in that order. But when you go back and look at them, it's actually it's John 13, verse 3, and verse 35. But then when you look at 1 John, if you actually look at it, it's 1 John 4, and even though it was divided up, it's 1 John 4. And it's verse 7.
I'm doing something. I'm on radio.
Oh. It's 1 John 4, 7 through 19 when you look at it. So that's the way we're going to present it for the listeners so they'll know what we're doing. Okay. Did everyone understand that or get that?
We got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And now, we can start with, let's start with the larger one first. Let's start with 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 19. And if anybody needs me to read part of it, I'll read it, or whoever's going to discuss a part of it can do that as well.
That's 1 John 4.
1 John 4:7. It's going to be 7 through 19. Is our full discussion. That's
okay.
What I was just explaining it. Because in the beginning I said 1 John 4:10 through 12. And then verse 16 and 18, and I have no idea why that was placed on my heart that way. But then I came back and I said, in addition to that, we want 1 John 4, 7 through 13. Well, then those fall right in between each other. And then I said in verse 19. So it's actually, the study that you've done is absolutely correct, so don't get confused about that. But it's 1 John 4, 7 through 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
they fall in line. They all fall in line.
7 through 19 is just a series of scriptures on love. So I think that for the ones who don't have their Bibles, it will benefit them more if you would read beginning at 7 through verse 19.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to read. Oh, we can discuss it as you read it.
Okay. I'll read 7 through 10 first, and then we'll stop there and discuss that in the, you know, in sections. Is that okay?
And what kind of Bible are you reading from?
You're cutting in and out.
What kind of Bible are you reading from?
I can read it from King James Version, whatever whatever you want, whichever one, you know, you guys tell me which one you want me to read from. New King James, which one?
I think for the benefit of the believers, I mean, some of the ones who maybe have Bibles probably have just the King James Version. So let's just do it from the King James.
Okay, King James Version. Okay, that's fine. That's what we'll do then. All right, beginning 1 John 4, verse 7, and I'm going to read through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. Well, say the word for me, Evangelist William.
Propitiation.
Say it again, Reverend William.
Propitiation.
Of our sin. Okay. That's 7 through 10.
Okay. I'll start the discussion if that's all right.
That's fine.
That's fine.
In verse 7, the words knoweth God stood out. When Jesus entreats us as beloved, you know, a lot of our scriptures, he is talking and he says, my little children, beloved. You know, he says real sweet words to us. So he says, beloved, let us love one another. Now, this is also a commandment that we love one another. But then when he says, for love is of God, we know that love is of God because he sent his only begotten Son for the sins of the world.
Reverend Williams, Reverend Williams, are you getting static from the phone? Can you understand Evangelist Williams real well?
Yeah.
You can?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Well, maybe it's my phone then, because I'm getting a lot of static. But continue, and I'll just change phones while you're continuing.
Okay. And it says, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Okay. Everyone that loveth is born of God. That means that we have to have a personal relationship with him through his Son. And knoweth God. The word knoweth also means having a relationship with. You know, we say we know each other. And then sometimes people will use the phrase, I know of them, but I don't know them. You know, sometimes you ask, do you know John Roberts? Well, I've heard of him, but I really don't know him. That means they're insinuating that the things that you may be raised to ask, they don't really know whether it's a fact about the person or not. So if we have been born again, that means that we have a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, then if we don't love, and this is not just loving the household of faith or people in the same congregation with you or you and your family. This means people in general. A lot of times we really have a special love for our blood kinfolk, but the Bible teaches us that we are to have a special love for the household of faith. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when the Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love, that means you don't have a personal relationship yet. There is no way that we can actually have been born again and not have love, because the new birth is hinged on love. Okay? Verse 9. Huh? You need I say something?
Oh, no. You're fine.
Okay.
Verse 9.
Is the static off the line? Can you hear better?
I can hear you just
mm-hmm.
fine.
Okay.
All right.
Verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. What manifested me was made known. It was shown to us. The love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now we are breathing beings. But the only way we can really live, you begin to live after you start dying. Okay, let me explain that. We are existing now. Because if you call some of what we do, the way we are, you know, things that we encounter, you wouldn't really call that living. So that's why I use the term life really begins after death. Because we begin to die out to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
our wants, our flesh,
mm-hmm.
our desires. Then we can begin to live in the truth
mm-hmm.
of the Word of God.
Okay.
Okay? We are
Amen.
Just kind of existing beings. Because sometimes what we call living, we are really not living. We are barely existing. And the things that we have to go through, and most of the times we call them ourselves, sometimes we don't. But a lot
mm-hmm.
of times, things that we go through, we call suffering for the sake of God. We opened our mouth, said the wrong thing, in the wrong terminology, at the wrong time or something, in the wrong setting, and caused
okay.
a little roughness there. You're not
mm-hmm.
suffering for the sake of Christ. You're just kind of suffering because of something that you caused. Okay, in verse 10, it says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's nothing so good that we've done that we can even measure what God done for us and what his Son suffered for us to be able to live. So when we think of the word love, we can relate that to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
We can relate that to what Jesus done. God had to have us in mind. He knew that the condition and the way that the world was, we had to have a way out. Some of us haven't accepted the way out, but we had to have a way out. He made it possible in Matthew 1:21. When he sent his Son to be born of Mary, that everybody would have an equal right to the tree of life. This doesn't include race. It doesn't include education. It doesn't include your life status quo. It doesn't include the kind of job you're on. It doesn't include none of that stuff. It's because he loved us for real.
Okay.
He gave us. The ultimate way out, the only way out, is through the coming of Jesus. So the love that God showed that he sent his Son to die for our sins was far more better than any love we could experience. You know, we use the term all the time, I love you, but do you really? Because when need arrives, sometimes our love changes for each other. When
mm-hmm.
we have to suffer along with people, our feelings and our love change for them a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to have the love of God in your heart for real to go
mm-hmm.
through some of the things that we have to go through.
Hmm.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, I've been experiencing some of that. And, you know, what's really strange, you know, is when you talk about God gave his only Son. You know, I've always thought about that, and you know, we have children, and how many of us would really sacrifice our child
That's
for somebody else?
Yeah,
you know, is just that's an amazing gift.
It is.
You know, it's just an amazing gift.
It is. And, you know, he had only one son.
Mm-hmm.
I have, let me count, three. I have five sons and three daughters. And I say I love them so much that I wouldn't sacrifice them. With five sons and four daughters, I wouldn't sacrifice any of them for somebody else to live. But, you know, if we really love like Jesus loved, we'll lay down our life every day that somebody else might live. And that's what he's calling us to do, because we still count our lives dear to ourselves. We really do. We love ourselves. We love ourselves. We are pretty to ourselves. You know, we love ourselves. But he didn't think of none of that. He thought about us when he went to the cross. I see all the time, he had me in mind because I was messed up. He had me in his mind. So that's why I strive so hard not to let him down. That's why I strive so hard. And as far as, like, giving one of our children, he's already given his son. So that price has been paid. So he's not required that we give our sons, but he is required that we give ourselves each other. He's requiring that.
That's a great message. I mean,
it's just to
think about the love of God is just
it's
a lot. it's a message all by itself. It really is. Reverend Williams, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gone. Okay. Now, do you want to read? I know you like to read. So do you want to read 11 through 14, and we'll take that step? Or you want me to read it, or either way you want to do it?
Okay. But one thing on one of the passages, when it says manifest, one thing I wanted to put in there is that manifest is, you know, I work for FedEx, and when I deliver a package or pick up a package, we have a manifest of a delivery, and then we have a pickup. And one thing is called a proof of delivery and proof of pickup. And in our lives, God should be manifested that, number one, that when you receive salvation, that the love you have, is it has to be manifested that he picked you up. And when he turned you around, that the manifestation of Christ should be within you. That means that everyone is the proof of showing the love that God has shown you, that you showed for somebody else. That's why Jesus says, by this, then everyone shall know that you are my disciple. Okay? And so as we continue on, verse 11, it says, you were going to read that, Sister Sugar?
Right, I'll read it for you. Sure. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect, is perfected in us. Hereby know we that dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. And verse 14, as we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Okay, what chapter are you in?
We're still on we're still doing
First John
chapter 4.
Okay, I got it. Okay. All righty. And that's in First John chapter 4. We have verse 11.
I read 11 through 14.
Okay, and so, and it says, and this is the record, I remember saying, that God had given, when it says, this is the Reverend mind showing that the testimony, of Christ and the testimony of God, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Because even Jesus came to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that only life can come through Christ. When we're talking about love, you're talking about sure enough having a life that is free, uncaring. In other words, we have cares, we have troubles, we have everything around us. But when it bears the record is shown through Christ, and God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. And one thing about it is that there was one of scriptures I sent through the days, and Jesus saying, I am the resurrection. And so one thing about life is that when you are resurrected in Christ, you can live your life freely. You can live your life with joy. You can live it with peace, okay? But if you're not resurrected, then you don't have God in you. And God has no part of you. But one thing about it, Jesus says, I come that you may have life and life abundantly. So he's letting everyone know, well, as the saved and the unsaved, I come that you may have life. Which one you want to choose? Okay? And it says, and he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So he's saying you can have life on this side, you have life on the other side eternally. And he that don't have God in his life, he don't have a life, period. Every time you turn around, you worry. Every time you turn around, you trying to figure out how you gonna do something. You've always fidgeting, edging. But then also, you don't even have a life on the other side, because when it says he that without God sees, you don't have life eternally because you hadn't received it. And all the other vessels talk about that love. You see, you haven't received love of God, and you don't have no love because you don't have no peace. And people without peace can't show no. I ain't never seen an unpeaceful person show any love. I hit Facebook every morning, and the first thing I see is a certain person come on there, and the first thing they doing is cussing and talking noise. And I want to send a message so bad and say, you know why you like this in the morning? You don't have Jesus in your life. You find Jesus, you can wake up in the morning saying, good morning first. How's everybody doing? And so not only that, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And if we can, matter of fact, help me, Lord Jesus.
Can you tell me, Reverend Williams, can you tell me where you're reading from?
Yeah, I'm messing up. Okay. I'm having some difficulty. I got a fan blowing over me. Okay, we're supposed to be in 11. My bad. Y'all forgive me. I'm going off. I got pages moving here.
Well, that's okay. It was still the Word of God. So,
okay.
But I just want to
catch. But I can walk through that real good. 11, beloved of the God, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Bringing it all down into all that, you find that God, who took his own begotten Son. You know, I would listen to Minister Williams as she was saying, I wouldn't sacrifice mine. But love is all about sacrifice. When we gonna love one another, you sacrificing that which you have Because that's what God did with Jesus, his only begotten son. He even told Abraham. Abraham, 100 years old, got his first son who came. And here God going to tell him, go up, go offer up your son. And the only thing Abraham could do was not worry about it, but say the Lord will provide. And when you look at that, beloved, if God so loves you, we ought to also love one another. And, mm-hmm. and the one thing about it, when Jesus sacrificed his life for me, when I see a stranger coming down the street, you know, we were saying, telling folks in churches that, you know, somebody say, well, we ought to take them in our home. But in today's times, you know, you just can't take a stranger to your home. But you can stop, and you can, if you feel that that person is in need, you can say, well, I can buy you some food. Or if you feel like they need to be cleaned up, go get a hotel or something and let them go in and take a shower. Buy them some shaving cream so they can shave. You know, get them some soap so they can take a bath. And if you can, get some clothes. Share it with them. Because one thing it is that God took all that he had and sacrificed it for our life, that we might be saved. You know, and he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. And it's like it's repeating itself, but John is trying to get us to understand it is a must that we love one another.
Amen.
And when you look at it now, understand it. What I love about it, Jesus, first, before he got into talking about loving the world, you know, John goes into how can you love God if you hate your brother. But Jesus said, first off, love ye one another. That's what he's telling his disciples. Because love begins at home among yourselves. You can't love the world if you can't love your household. If we can't love one another and show love for one another, I don't care what church you go to, I don't care what denomination you are. If you are born again believer and you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, then I don't care if you're from the other side of the world. I should love you, Sister Sugar. I should love our guests who's on. I should love Minister Williams.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. If we are in the family, we're in the body of Christ. So once we can love in the body of Christ, then we can go out and show some of those that don't know about love how to really love. Because when you look at love, you're looking at agape and agapo. And see, and that's really a high personal relationship that you have with God. Okay? So, and that's what God is trying to get us to understand when we look at these verses. And one of them I see it says, hereby know we that know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. Now, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. See, if you're going to love, you got to love, well, how Jesus said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But it's got to be genuine love. It can't be no facade put on. You know, when some folks see each other, you know, I'm really not trying to get into a little mood, but, you know, sometimes you see young girls, they smoochies, love you. That ain't no love. That's just trying to get past the moment. But God don't want us to get past the moment. He wants us to be able to do that which is genuine. Because as Minister Williams said, God knows our heart. He knows what we're doing. He knows what is in us. You can't shake and faith with him. You can't say nothing with him. He already know you from the beginning. You got ready to start. Know what you're going to say. Know how you're going to do it. Know when you're going to do it. So there's nothing we can do to impress him. The only thing we can do is please him. You can't impress him. You have to please. That's why he said, this is my beloved son who in whom I'm well pleased. You see? And so he lets us know Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever confess Jesus, because that's pure love that came.
Yeah.
So God let you know, if you accept my Son, I'm in you, you in me.
That's right.
Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know. So that's all I have to put in on those on that verses. You know, is that God is love, and we should have the love of God in us.
Okay.
Okay.
Evangelist Williams, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Hello. Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
I was waiting on Evangelist Williams. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and read the next one. 15, and it's 15 through 19. And are you there, Evangelist Williams? Okay. I'm going to read.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
We got you now.
Okay.
I hear you now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you the first few times we were calling you out.
Okay.
I was asking you if you had anything you wanted to say on that. You want
okay.
to add to it.
Okay, I just want to add in verse 12, where it says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Mm-hmm.
And his love will make us perfect. You know, we often say, ain't everybody perfect? Well, if we have the love of God in us, his love is perfect. There's no flaws in his love.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to stop saying, can't nobody be perfect. I know I'm not perfect. If you have the love of God in you, you are striving for perfection. And I enjoyed what Reverend Williams was saying. It was all true.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Verse 14, and I'm just going to go ahead and read verse 14 through 19.
Okay.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I think I read that a while ago. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because
Amen.
As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and Amen. I would like both, if we can, just get both of you your input on that.
Okay.
Amen.
Verse 15 is just saying that whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. That shows a relationship. You have to know what's in you. And if you've received God, if you've received salvation, then you know you have God in you. Okay? Okay? And 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We know that God loved us because if he didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his Son. That was real love. We said that in the beginning. Then it says God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So this is how we as disciples will know, because we have love one to another. We know that God is in us because we have love one to the other. All right, here is our love made perfect. I just discussed that a few minutes ago. Our love is made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so will we be in this world. You know, in this world. We haven't crossed over yet. We've got to show the unbelievers the love of Christ in this world while we're living down here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't believe if they don't see. You know, a lot of people doesn't have enough faith to just believe something if they don't have some proof. So we're the proof in the earth that we have the love of Christ in us by the love that we show one to the other.
Okay.
And if there is no fear in love, the perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment, and it does. I heard Reverend Williams talking about that a few minutes ago. I'm talking about, you know, how people, even early in the morning, instead of when they open their eyes, lifting their hands in adoration to God, saying, Lord, I thank you, because you've blessed me to see another day I've never seen before. We'll get up and we look at our mate's face and look in whose ever face we're close to and have something to growl about. God is just not in it. And we're so unappreciative. Did you not know that it's really disrespectful to God when we can't say good morning, Jesus? I love you. That's very disrespectful. You know, we'll look over and say, good morning, honey, I love you. But what about Jesus? Because our honeys didn't die for us, amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about in 19, it says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved. It ought to be easy. I mean to love you if you showed me love first. It ought to be easy for me to say, I love you. If you look at me and say, I love you, I ought to say, I love you. I shouldn't say, well, I don't love you, you know. It ought to be easy because he did it first. He showed us perfect examples. So this life is not really easy to live, but if we allow him to live it through us, then it makes it easy.
I totally agree.
But you know,
right.
when you say you know, you say it's not easy to live, but you know, at the same time, I agree with what you said that if you live it through him, then it is, you know, it makes it easy.
Yeah. That's all
so,
we can
know,
live it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way we really
can. It can be made easy.
Yeah. Because, you know, for somebody who has done you wrong, you have to have God in you to love them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know they did it. You know they did it. And they were wrong. And you have to have God in you to love them. It'll be real easy because, like, I don't like you because of what you done. But if you have Christ in your life, you can still love them in spite of what they've done.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You dislike that. You dislike their actions or even their ways. You know,
yeah.
But you love the person. The Jesus in you can love the person.
That's right.
And it's supposed to love the person. Yeah, that makes sense. Reverend Williams?
Just a few points. One good thing about it is that why should anybody fear God? You fear God because you don't have God in you. Let me put it like this here. It says, it talks about the perfect love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect love is God. Transforms our relationship. Okay? Remember the Bible said, be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are living in love, okay, just as God is love, understand that the sure day of judgment comes. Just because everybody talking about all the world coming to the end and folks run to their cabinet trying to do everything there is. Folks, you know, when they say Y2K, folks start acting the fool. Even now, I find folks dealing tunnels, filling up an old tunnel, trying to put in canned goods and everything. I fear. Let me put it like this here. The love that you have for God and the love he has for us, you shouldn't have fear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you step into judgment, you don't have to have fear. It says you step into judgment with boldness. Look at here. It says, herein is our love made perfect. Come on. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That means you mm-hmm. have no fear. Right?
Amen. All right.
The Bible tells us that God did not put the spirit of fear in us, but he gave us love. Huh? And on top of love, you have, first off, he gives you strength. He gave you love, and he gave you sound mind. You have power.
Mm-hmm.
You have power to know God loves me. And as our last verse says, because he loved me first, that he sent his son. Not only that, he lets us know you have that no fear because you know the love of God, you're going to have everlasting life.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to know
that's
that.
Right.
You're supposed to know that if I have pure love in me and he perfected me, okay, and how do I know that my love, that the love of God is in me? Well, let me put it like this. I supply you with all your daily needs. Haven't he done that for you?
Okay. Yeah.
You done went through a whole week. Minister Williams, you done traveled all across. You done went back and forth everywhere. Went to every women's conference that year. Have you hit a wreck yet? Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Trials and tribulations and went our way. Had God brought us out of it?
Yes.
Come on. So the thing is, I shouldn't have no fear about anything. But look at it. But also, they that have known the truth, they that have known God, okay, understand it, that fear, that when you have God's love in you and you know that, then you ought to have peaceful rest.
Amen.
Okay. You should rest in God's love. Right? For the peace of God surpasses what? All understanding.
All understanding.
And because even the Bible says when we go, they say, as they rest from their labor.
Yes.
Lord, lay me down. I can rest in peace.
Yes.
Because I know that he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I can wake up refreshed and renewed and show that same love he showed me for somebody else.
Amen.
And that's what God, that's all he wanted, because number one, he first loved you. How did he first love you? God created the heavens and the earth. He fixed you up. And then when he gave you life, he blew the breath of life. He gave us power over everything that put us in charge, made us stewards over all his good stuff.
Amen.
And not only that, he keeps supplying and taking care of you daily when we least deserve it. Huh?
Okay.
And this lets me know that he loved me first, but first means he loved me better than I love my own self. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's talk about our love for one another. For a minute, I know it says, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. How? And there's many types of love. We know that there's you know, from where I read there were four types of love. So, but just showing. I beg your pardon.
It's about
It's
about five or six of them. It's a whole bunch. I understand what you're talking about, though. Go ahead.
Okay, you want to give them to us? You want to give us the ones that you have?
Some of them is, one of them is called the Eros love.
Okay.
Agape.
Agape. The phileo love,
right?
They're mostly like Greek words,
and then the family love.
Is that why we get all
and it right?
Yeah.
Amen. And those were the only ones that I found.
That's four. That's right. That's four. The Eros, the Phileo, the Agape,
and family.
And family.
It's one that a mother
has. Eros, Agape, Phileo, and family.
One that what, Reverend Williams?
I think one of the ones y'all talking about, the family love, is the one that is like a mother has toward a
right,
son,
that's the family love.
Like
right.
But
right.
You're trying to use the other word that they use for it, which is I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. It's S-T-O-R-G-O-U-V.
It's in the Greek.
Right, but I just use what I can understand and hope that the next person that's listening can understand it because, you know, I country girls speak plain old English, so those are the words I use.
I think that's the people, and that's why you can think of it.
I didn't find a fifth one. I just found four. I found four, and I found how many times the word love was used in the Bible and things like that. But I only found four instances of love, or four kinds of love. But what my question is with godly love, you know, the God love that fills us. How hard is it to continue to love, to have that love for someone when it's because we can say we don't want to be loved. It don't matter what somebody do to you. We can say that. The spirit person can say it, but the flesh person want reciprocated love. That's just plain and simple. So if you're a godly person and you are showing love, not just affection, but showing love to the person or to the people, and if you don't feel it, you don't see it, and actually they're not even accepting it, how far do you go with that? And this is not about how many times you forgive a person. This is how far do you go with that?
How far do you go with man's kind of love? Is that what you're talking about?
With continuing to love the other person.
And they show you no love back?
They show you no love back, and they're really not accepting your love. You know, it's kind of like they're, in a sense, mocking it. They're mocking your love, your Christian love. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Is somebody keeping up a lot of noise in the background?
I hear the children.
Okay.
I know who it is. Mute me out, Sister Shoes.
It's Reverend William Boone.
Okay.
Okay. Now, how far? You know what? We're human, and I think that if we reach as far as we can in a continuous manner over the years, after a while, if people don't receive us or don't accept our love, see, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Don't cast your pearls before swine." After a while, I think that we're kind of wake up and understand that, well, I guess they just really don't want me to love them. And you eventually, I think, just kind of move on.
But you just keep you, of course you're going to keep that love in your heart.
Right.
But you don't have to continue to deal with that person.
Yeah, you can't make them respond.
You, I guess it's kind of like love them from a distance.
Yeah, we're free moral agents, so we can't make anybody respond to our love. But we can show love. Okay, the Bible said, be at peace with all men as much as it lies in you. Mm-hmm. So as far as you can go is as far as you can go. and I'm going to try to find that scripture so I won't leave anybody hanging.
Go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm going to try to find that scripture right quick.
Okay. You know, it's kind of like, I'm trying to put some events together with it. You love a person, and you have Christian love for a person, godly love for them, and they are also a godly person. And I'm going to give you an example and say that person. You know that person. Well, let's rephrase this. Do you continue to? How do you deal with your love for a person, for another believer that you know is doing wrong, and the two of you have love for each other, but you know they're doing wrong, and they want you to go along with their wrongdoing?
You can't do it. You can't do it. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It means you really love them if you don't go along with them.
Amen.
Okay. So you agree, Reverend Williams?
Amen, because one thing about it, in both emphases, love continually is when you care, but nobody else shows you care.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when you have somebody, you know they're wrong. They're a Christian. An open repentance is better than a secret love.
And secret love, amen.
Mm-hmm.
They might get mad at you, but they'll come around.
Me, I'm like this. And you don't even say, I'm sorry. Because the only thing you're doing is telling God, I'm sorry, but God wants you to stand and stick by your sword of you're wrong. And
mm-hmm.
if they get mad, when I tell people, you get over it. Don't
mm-hmm.
want to call me no more for a while. You get over it. If you don't, too bad. I bet you
mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to call you. Now, if you don't want to talk to me, now I might not call you no more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if I see you at church, hey, how you doing? If you don't want to talk to me, then
okay.
I'm not getting ready to stand there and play into a party of selfishness.
Okay.
Because when you know you're wrong, and somebody told you, and it's how you tell people also when they're wrong. Because you can't go off like you just all that in a bag of chips. You have to let them know in love,
mm-hmm.
you see. Because God chastises those who he loves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So overreaching
Amen.
Is better than a secret love is that you don't go along with it. You don't go behind their back talking about it to somebody
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
But you let that person right then and there know you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And love is a continuation. Because understand, when you pick up the word of God, when everybody pick up the word of God, and you are a saved person, or whether you're a sinner, if you pick up that Bible, and you read it, and you see it, God is talking to the reader. The letters
That's right.
to the churches, when you pick up that Bible, the letter was to the churches. But every man has to be accountable for his own soul.
Okay.
And we all going to be judged accordingly. But God, Jesus did not. And I know you say we're not talking about, it's sort of like the forgiving. Because love is forgiving. If you love somebody, you can forgive. And that's the reason why love is mentioned more in the Bible is because that's really mostly the hardest thing in this life for us to do. because somebody said the word, I think it was Houston, sugar, when somebody, you loving somebody, but you're showing love toward them, but they don't show it toward you, they not being receptive of it.
Right.
And what I've learned is that I had to learn, and I'm learning now, everybody ain't you, and you are not everybody. People are not going to be considerate of anything you're trying to do. Now, understand it. Just giving a little example. There's a person I've always, every time I turn around, I'm trying to do something good. And then I come to find out, and they were never receptive. They already had, always had something negative to say or do. And I had to come to the understanding also, are you doing it trying to get their little pleasing or their that pat on the back of acknowledgement from them?
Brian,
or are you doing it out of pure love? Yeah. You see? But if you're going to love somebody, if you're going to do something, do it because you care, and that's what you're doing, because you care for them.
Yeah.
Now, if they're not receptive of it, now, that's another way you can show them love. Because I learned to do a Michael Jackson. I can moonwalk back quick. But I learned that. I hear people say you can love people from a distance and all this. I'm like this. I learned that when you see them, how you doing? When they're around, you speak. Okay? And then sometimes you still pick up the phone and say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And that's it. Hang up the phone.
Yeah.
We have to have genuine, because our verse 20, you can't skip over verse 20 in that chapter 4. If a man say, I love God, you can't love God and hate your brother. He is a liar. Because God created a person just like he created you.
Yeah.
And God loved that person because he sent his son Jesus to die for him just like he died for you.
Amen.
So
okay.
If you, your brother, you know, we have to, it's a continuous thing. There's no limit on it.
Alright. Our next, we have two more verses to cover.
Okay,
and
let me give you the scripture in Hebrews 12 and 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So we need to love as much as lies in us. If the love of God is in us, we can love.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
And so,
right.
Sugar, I know you're ready to move on, but I just have one question. How many of us trying to go to heaven? That's all I can say.
Amen. You got to learn this long ago.
Amen.
Okay.
You know,
I have this thing where I try to fix everything. You know, fix situations and fix problems and fix things, and that love thing, for me to love somebody is easy. But when I feel that the person that is a believer is doing wrong, I have a fault of judging, in a sense, to where I feel like if they're doing wrong, then they're not showing that they love God. You know, if they're doing something to hurt someone else, then I don't feel like they're showing the kind of love that God wants us to show towards each other. So,
mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that. So.
And you're right, Sister Sugar. We do have a problem with it, but it does not mean that we cast a stone at them. Because one thing about it, a Christian for another Christian, remember I said, in the body of faith, the body of Christ, not just because I'm going to Blessed Hope, my church, and I'm talking just the Blessed Hope folk, but I'm talking about even with Minister William, that
guy,
other folks that's on this line, that guy, I don't care what church you go to. The thing is that in the body of Christ, the Bible says, restore a brother. That means you pray for that brother. Okay?
Okay.
And I know it's hard. I know it's hard.
No, well, that's that's not hard for me to pray for somebody that I love or that I know is not doing, you know, that's doing something to hurt somebody else. It's not hard for me to pray for them at all. That's not hard for me. I'll pray for others before I pray for myself. So that's not hard for me. Let me get this right. This Minister Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
See, I got it right. Welcome. We're really glad to have you. I really missed you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I was trying to find a scripture for Evangelist Williams. It's in Romans 12 and 18.
Thank you,
Amen.
Darling. My backup.
Okay. Romans 12 and 18.
We weekend this weekend, 12 and 18. All right.
Romans 12 and 18 said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's the
okay.
main one.
That's
go,
it.
Girl.
Amen.
It is possible.
And then the 19th verse is, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So, they begin to love these people that are unlovable. We have to love them. It's a must that we love them. And I look at, it's not how people treat us, it's how we treat them.
That's
and
right.
And
I
find
totally
Jesus
agree.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what they plotted up to do against him, he still loved them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And he knew the enemy was in the camp, and he still loved them.
Amen.
All right, that's it.
That's
even chapter
that's
5
one.
Of Matthew, Sermon on the Mountain, the first thing Jesus said, love your enemies.
Mm-hmm. You got to.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty rough, huh?
They said keep your enemies close and your friends close, but your enemies closer. So you know what your friend going to do, but you don't know what that enemy going to do. That's why you got to love them.
Yeah.
Said in love and kindness, have I drawn them?
Mm-hmm.
And some people get up on a daily basis just to see how they can mess somebody's life up for that day. But you still got to love that individual.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, but you still got to love them.
Yeah.
And that's a continuous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You do.
And we know some of these people are dead set to get us, but we still got to love them.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen.
Yeah. Evangelist Williams kind of, I guess, she knows why I'm having this discussion. It's a personal issue. And I feel for the person. And I get so emotional about other people that just, it just tears my heart up when a person can't be at peace with love.
You got to give them to God. What he said for us to cast our cares.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put that person in God's hand and let it go because you'll wear yourself out and they're going on acting silly. Put them in God's hand because he can do more while you're sleeping than you can do when you're awake.
I know you're right. Evangelist Williams and told me.
So he can fix it while you sleep.
Evangelist Williams and told me. You're going to wear yourself out. You can't do that by yourself.
She get on me all the time. Let these folks go. They grown.
Now,
she sounds like me now.
They're, there are people that love to see you all worked up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one thing we always have to remember, when you look at an evil person, you have to put a D on the beginning of that. That's nothing but the devil in there.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about it, you have to understand, Saul loved it. I can't even get his name out of my mouth right now. But the prophet that went and anointed Saul, he loved his Saul so much as king. And God had to go to him and ask him, why are you weeping so? Don't you see I rejected him? If I rejected him, why are you tearing yourself up over Saul? Sometimes you can't tear yourself up over people. The only thing you can do is love them, have mercy for them, pray for them, turn them over to God, and let God deal with them in his own way.
Amen. And that's something I do have to receive and accept. I really do. That's my downfall. I was telling Evangelist Williams that I was in a situation a few years back, and one of my coworkers, you know, I was going through kind of the same thing. There was so much stuff going on, and I was trying to help this person and help this one and fix this situation and just running around trying to fix all the situations. And one of my coworkers hurt my feelings. He really hurt my feelings. And I told him about that recently. We ran across each other again. And I told him, I said, you know, you hurt my feelings. But I had to think about it because he walked up to me and he just said in a low, very low, calm tone, you know, being a savior is a heavy burden to bear, huh? And it just hurt my feelings because I felt like I was doing the right thing by trying to, you know, fix the situation, mediate, do whatever, but it wasn't my place to do it, you know. And I had to get to that. And it's times now I have to, you know, try to realize that every burden is not my burden to bear.
And some people don't want to be fixed; they want to be broken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that
they
right
really
there, you said a mouthful. You
they
said
they
want
to have a pity party. They want to send out invitations to everybody they can think of,
and let you
be a part of the pity party. And they walk away from
my
the party. Help me, somebody! Come on.
You said a mouthful right there.
Man, been there, done that, baby. Got the T-shirt. The hip boots and the helmet, okay?
What did you say? Yeah, wrote a song about it. Want to hear it?
Yes,
here you go.
Amen. You know what? If we love them with the love of Christ, you didn't see Christ over nowhere holding up folks all the time trying to do this. He had a mission in mind. He didn't forget his mission. If people came to him broken, he tried to heal them if they desired to be healed. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you.
Amen.
And walked on.
Yeah.
He didn't look back. He kept going.
Yeah.
Some folks are broken and don't want to be fixed. So we have to pray for them, love them, and keep walking.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You're absolutely right.
And that's what God wants us to do, because the one thing about it, we get so caught up and wrapped up, we become the thing that we are saved. We can't save nobody.
Mm-mm.
The only thing you can do is help somebody.
We can introduce them to the baby.
The Savior. We can only introduce them to the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But if they reject you, only thing you can do, as Jesus says, wipe the dust from under your feet. And just keep on moving.
You got to.
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
you leave some proud.
Do we?
All right.
Okay, we got we have two more verses to discuss. John 13, verse 3, and then we're gonna skip over to John 13:35.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it again. I don't even know why it, you know, I got it that way, but that's just the way I got it. So I know now why I got the first part, because it's what I needed to hear.
Okay, 13 and 3.
13 and 3.
Uh-huh. Okay, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. And skip over to 35.
Uh-huh.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, Reverend Williams, Minister Cook, either one.
When you look at this verse, here you find that Jesus had just come out from under the supper, and here you find that Jesus began to say, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, betray him. It says, first thing, it says, Jesus knowing. It's that Jesus keeping acknowledgement and aware of his deity and who he is and his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus always kept a conscious mind of who he was.
Okay.
And it says, and that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. Mm-hmm. Jesus kept acknowledgement that there are things that God had already placed in his hand, that God has already, it came, and he already knew it. He kept himself conscious of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, what is it God is trying to tell us is that we need to have a conscious mind. We were talking about in Sunday school that a person that's full of Johnny Walker and Red, you know, he don't have no conscience. A drunk man, that's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be full of the Spirit. And Jesus speaking in the Spirit, because the Spirit keeps your mind conscious and aware of what's going on around you. Because if you go to John 17 and 5, if you don't mind, if you go to John 17 and 5, you'll find that Jesus says, this is what Jesus said. Now, when it says the part about he know that he came from God and must go to God, but God has given all power unto him, he knew that his Father already gave him some stuff. He already put the world to his hand. And this is what it says. It says, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So this letting you know that Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. And his blessing is going to be right back again.
All right.
So we need to understand that as children of God, that as people down here worshiping him, that you have to keep your mind in a state of knowing who you are. That's why it's a be transformed, keeping your mind clear, that you are transformed from that old man to a new man, and that God has some stuff for you. It ain't just the stuff we get down here, but it's talking about that in the time to come, you're going to be able to sit on the right hand of the Father also. You're going to be able to judge the world also. Even the Bible tells us, I'll make the world your footstool. If you look over in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that we'll be able to sit down and we'll be able to sit in the judgment seat also. God has some things for us, not just but for eternity. He said, I know, he said, knowing that he came from God, and he must go back to God. Understand it. When God created us, he blows the breath of life. He won't step back, but he can't take it any kind of way.
All right.
Because when he go down to verse 35, that's when it's saying that even if you go and keep good reading, it says Jesus loved them as he loved them, and he'll always love them to the end. But here he goes down to 35 out of that chapter, and he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's what I talk about. First off, you disciples have to love one another, because they always had little old issues with each other. The issue was, who was the greatest? Okay? Jesus began to wash feet. Because why? They were probably sitting there arguing. Because in those days, it was that the youngest one or the lowest person was going to be the one to go down and wash all somebody's toes. You see? And so they were arguing about who was the greatest. So Jesus had to let them know, none of y'all are the greatest. If you want to be great, be a servant first. And to be a servant to God, is that's why God say, this is my beloved son, because Jesus always kept in mind that he came from God. We have to remember, when you become a new creature, you have to understand you came from God.
Amen.
And by the finger of touch, he is by the breath of life that he put into you, you ought to be able to be willing. Let me change my life that I be a living sacrifice, because I need to go back to this here, not this body, but this soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I ought to be able to go back to God to be with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. And then he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Look what a disciple is. A disciple is a pupil. And a pupil learns from a teacher. So as Christ is the teacher, we ought to be a pupil of his word every day.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to stop you right there because we're getting close to the end of the show. And I want to give Minister Cook a chance to have a word.
It's just beautiful. I was reading 34 and 35. He gave them a new commandment to love one another as he had loved them. And he's saying we're to be the example to the world because of the love that we have one for the other. You know, the world loves its own. But when they see people that have come from diverse backgrounds come together and love each other better than family love each other sometimes, that, you know, they want to know, what is all of this that keeps y'all together like that? What's the glue that keeps y'all stuck together? That we have to love one for the other. And it's not fake love, it's genuine love. It's godly love that we have for each other. But you can't love somebody if you don't have God down on the inside of you.
Amen.
You've got to have that love. Even when those people do you wrong, you still got to love them. And sometimes we look at people and they'll come back. They've done you wrong, and they'll come back later and say, something about you, I know it had to be God on the inside of you for you to put up with me the way I acted in a way. And sometimes they never say I'm sorry. But you know what? The love on the inside of us have to show up. That's why our flesh have to die daily. You never see an eagle down low on the ground. That eagle soars up high, and it looks a great ways off. So if we're down, we're low, and people are hurting our feelings, we need to get up just a little bit higher. Where it doesn't matter what people say, what people do.
We're
going above them because, you know what, they got to get up on our level.
Amen.
And if you're down low, you're going to think low, you're going to feel low, but you get up high, it'll get to the point that people, when that people do something to you, you just say whatever and keep going. But you still got to love them.
Amen.
We still got to love them. Sometimes our worst enemy is our family, but we still got to love them. Sometimes the worst hurt you can get is in the church among church folk, but you still got to love those people because God is requiring you to love, regardless of what color the skin is, regardless of where they come from, regardless of what their background is, you still got to love them. We can't be judgmental. We have to love people because Jesus loved us, and some of us was messed up worse than some of these people we're trying to point the finger at.
Amen.
But somebody pulled us out, so we need to love them enough to love them out of the areas that they're in. Let them know it's a better way. God loved me and got me out of my mess, so come on. Come on, go with me.
Amen.
Can you tell she just left my house from Friday?
You know, I love hearing Minister Cook, because she has such enthusiasm.
Yes, ma'am. Look, I love this man, so I got to tell you about it.
All right.
If he didn't love me and get me out of the mess I was in, I mean, why be a testimony if you ain't went through something? You got to love God.
Yeah, that's right.
We done been through some stuff, and I couldn't tell you now, but we done been through some things.
Yes.
But we know, when we look back, we know it had to be God that got us through it. That's the only way we could have made it.
Well, I know I've been through, go through, and will probably continue to go through.
But you're still here, baby, so they give you another opportunity just to get closer to him.
That's exactly right. That's right. And I can say that some of the stuff that I went through, if people knew, they would wonder, well, how did you make it?
Yeah.
You know, they would just wonder, how did you make it? How did you go through
it? They don't know the story behind your glory, honey.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. But what you went through, you can't help but to praise God.
Because
I look at my history. I should have been somewhere in a mental institution. But you know what? God said, not so. You got to live. Get up and come on.
Yeah. Amen. You know, that's something that a pastor always say in church. He always say, the devil try to tell you two things, not now and not you.
But you
and
know
I
what?
Say,
tell
you
him
know
he
what that
can't
makes
get back
sense.
To heaven and Jesus took his keys.
Mm-hmm.
Since he's trying to throw some mud in your face, throw some in his.
That's right.
Tell him that Jesus came to his house and took his keys. Now, how bad is that?
Mm-hmm.
And he can't get back to heaven. He got kicked out, so he can't get back there.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, who in their right mind gonna let somebody come in their house and take the keys?
Even without a scripture. Without a scripture, each one of us that's on this line can talk for hours about God's goodness.
Yes, it is good. Mm-hmm.
Because each one of us have gone through something that, you know, like you say, some people didn't make it through, and, you know, and we did.
But we did.
You know, it's amazing.
The song that said, many tried to make it, but I'm one of the ones who did.
Amen.
They started out with you, but they didn't make it. But you one of the ones that did make it. And we had to go through what we went through, Sister Sugar, in order to be who we are today. If we had not gone through stuff, what kind of testimony could we give anybody?
You know, and I tell people that, Evangelist Williams know a lot more about stuff that I've gone through than probably anybody. And it used to make me sad to talk about it. And some of it I was ashamed to talk about. And it don't hurt. It just don't hurt now. Because now I understand why I went through it. Yeah, I understand that it was a path I had to take. I get that. I get it.
Ma'am.
You know, so it's okay.
It had to be that way.
Yeah.
Well, I know the show is almost over, but I just would like to say I have really enjoyed this evening. We had a long, rough weekend, but I'm excited. I will be speaking at a women's conference, Reverend Williams, in Nelsonville, Texas.
What he say? He should have been to every women's conference there is. No, she got another one to go to.
Amen. Let praise the Lord. And when God can let you use your gifts, go for it.
I want y'all to know I appreciate Reverend Williams' praise for me for the conference that we just came through, and it was awesome. And
no.
Before we'll be talking about the blood of Jesus on this coming Saturday in Madisonville, Texas. And I just, what's the name of Judge Johnson?
I think it's the Old Johnson Memorial. On 21 Highway.
It's in Madisonville?
Yes, ma'am.
And it, when is it, Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
It's right in front of the projects in Madisonville, off of 21 Highway.
Yep.
Next to
you
the
know
barbecue
what?
Place.
I'm going to see, I know my son will come and pick me up and take me to Huntsville. If I get to Huntsville, I can get to Madisonville because I can use his car. I'm going to see about getting to that one. Now, you know I'll be coming in there with my arm in a sling more than likely, but I'm going to do my best to get there Saturday.
All right. We appreciate it. And we're inviting everybody to come out. We are expecting to have an awesome time again. We come in like a ball of fire, and we leave out smoking. Amen.
Dressing your dresses,
Amen.
Chuck.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Amen.
Our representative of the Savings Place Holiness Church in Dallas, Texas, our pastor is the Honorable Elder James Williams, Jr., who is my other half. We thank God for him. Amen. And Mr. Cookie James, you have an awesome pastor.
as a matter of fact, Sister Regina, you know I told you I wasn't going to let you get away anymore without saying something.
She's just as quiet as a mouse.
Oh, that's okay. She's on the line. She hear me.
I've been enjoying myself. I mean, the word is awesome. God is an awesome God. I mean,
that's
I wouldn't him. Take nothing for him. He's an awesome God. I mean, he blew my mind from Wednesday through Sunday. I mean, he's just awesome. He's just awesome.
What about today, Gene?
Well, you know, he blew my mind today. I said, even the start of the week, I've never had a start of a week like I had, but I know he's awesome. I really don't have the words to say because I'm still up there, but I'm here, right here in this room. But I mean, he's awesome. He knows he's not short of his word, and whatever he say, he gonna do. Not on our time, but his time.
Come on,
praise
now.
Praise the Lord. God bless all y'all.
Ooh, yes, Sister Regina be sitting there being quiet, and she know, I can't let her do that. Mm-mm.
She the one hollering, crawled in the phone, you put in time out.
And I can't just let her just sit there and not say what's on her heart. So, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. So, Reverend Williams, give us your information so we can wrap it up.
Oh, okay.
Not doing that well. She's okay, but I talked with her this evening, and she, you know, she's still a little under the weather.
Sister Bobby.
Yes.
Okay. She is okay. Well.
We're going to keep her in prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. My name is Reverend Williams. I attend the Blessed Hope Missionary Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas, where the pastor, Pastor J.D. Dinkins, is the pastor. And we are located at 3741 Colvin Street here in Houston, Texas, zip code 77013. You can call the church at 713-673-6309. And if you would just like to contact me, I have no problem with giving my number. It's 979-525-8533. We have services Sunday at school, start at 9 a.m., worship service at 10:30. We have Bible study on Wednesday night starting at 7 o'clock. I invite each and every one of you to come. If you're in the area, please stop by and worship with us. If you don't have a church home, consider us. Come by and see what we do and how we do. And if it touches your heart to join, that's fine. We will be glad to receive you. But if you don't have a church home and you don't want to join with us, come by anyway. We can direct you into a church that can suit your needs at any time. But one thing about it, we want you to be in the body of Christ. We don't want nobody to leave this side or to go this day without having Christ in your life. I implore you, I urge you, and I encourage you to get Christ in your life. Now, don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow is never promised to us. God bless you.
Amen.
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 All righty. Are we still here?
Like I say, I think we had a great show today. It helped me a lot. I always enjoy talking about the love of God and our love for each other. Loving each other is just a major thing to me. It's big with me.
Yeah.
I just kind of think that if we could just do that, everything else would fall in line, you know.
Amen.
But I also needed to hear what Minister Cook and you know, what you all had to say, you know, because sometimes I hold on to things longer than I need to.
Let it go,
I have
honey.
To know when to let go, because I'll hold it, and I just keep thinking, okay, maybe they'll listen. If I do it, if I just talk to them again, they'll listen. I have to know when to let it go, and your words, you know, mean a lot. It mean
yeah.
a lot. So I want to thank you all for doing this on this day, first of all, because, you know, a lot of people would have said they were too busy to do it. So I thank you. And now next week we can return to, because I know Evangelist Williams had studied for the topic that we had at hand, the sin consciousness, what does it mean? So we can go ahead and do that next week.
Amen.
Actually, do we have something scheduled for the 30th? We have
changed.
We
had the sin consciousness scheduled for the 30th. Isn't that a Tuesday?
We had the sin consciousness scheduled for today, but we changed it. And for the 30th, which is Thursday,
okay.
We had Enemies of the Cross.
Right, okay.
So is everybody up still for doing Enemies of the Cross on Thursday?
I'll be working, Sister Sugar, so I won't be participating. It's
okay.
Minister Cook.
Okay. Do we need to move it to another time? We have days available. Actually, it's almost time. Well, by the 29th, we need to have the sponsorship taken care of by the 29th. So that we can continue. And here's the thing. We have any time of day or any day that we want to do the show. So that's what I you know, want everybody to keep on their mind. I don't know if some go to work at night and are off in the daytime and want to do a show during the daytime. We can do that as well, and instead of waiting until nighttime.
Well, I
you
do
know.
12-hour shifts, so when I get off, I'm asleep.
Okay. So, you know, just let me know. We can do, we were going to do one, Reverend Williams and I were going to do one on Saturday morning. It's past Saturday morning, but we decided to let that go. So anyway, just a time that's convenient for everybody. If we can we can stick with one a week. But, you know, as I said, with the sponsorship, I would like for, you know, the amount that's being sponsored need to get the money's worth, basically, you know.
Amen.
Monday to Wednesday. This time is good. We can do it from 6:30 to 7:30 like we have it. That's okay.
Okay, on Thursday?
No, on Monday. We can leave it on Monday.
Okay. Okay, well, then I'm going to go back in and I'm going to reschedule everything. So Monday, what we'll discuss is sin consciousness. What does it mean? The topics that we had that were under that, that's what we'll discuss on this coming Monday. I use the shows for other things also. I also have a young gospel group, actually out of Huntsville, a sister and brother team that has just released a new gospel album. They're teenagers, and I'm going to bring them on and interview them on the show one day this week because I want to encourage them, to stay in, in what they're doing, to move forward with what they're doing.
Amen.
I'll play their music and talk with them for a little while, just kind of get them some exposure as well, because they chose gospel. Is this Evangelist Williams asking?
Yes.
Okay, well, you would be the only person, I think, except Sister Regina might would know there. You remember Betty Lewis? It was Betty Lewis. Betty Lewis. Freddie Dickey.
Yeah.
And then Lonnie and Donnie Dickey. Well, Betty Lewis was in our class. Anyway, it's her sisters. If she had twin sisters, and it's her sisters' grandchildren.
That's real old.
Huh.
That makes us old. Okay.
Well, actually, the twins were much younger than us. There were two sets of twins. It was Connie and Bonnie were the twins, and the boys were Lonnie and Donnie, twins.
Even our classmate grandkids.
And then my cousins.
Oh, okay. Well, mine too. So anyway, it's Connie's kids that are the ones that have the music out, and they're good. They they've been at it for a while, and they finally released their CD. So I agreed to bring them on the show, and then I'm going to also bring them on the kids show that I have. I have a show just for kids, and then I also have a friend in London that has agreed to interview them as well. So, I want to encourage them in what they're doing. So, the show will be, being used for that as well.
That's good. Okay.
And anyway, we want to wish everybody a good night and a very, very blessed week.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. All
okay.
Right. Same to you.
And we'll see everybody back here on Monday.
Amen. God bless y'all.
God bless you. Amen. God bless you.
Bye-bye.